You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 100.5 FM.
Speaking in May to the American Jewish Committee, Canada's Foreign Minister John Baird said it was our common duty to uphold the rights of the afflicted to give voice to the voiceless. But when Richard Falk, United Nations Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territories, occupied since 1967, gave voice to the afflicted and little acknowledged needs of the Palestinians under Israeli occupation, John Baird called that obscene. John Baird joined with fellow Cabinet Minister Jason Kenney in calling for Richard Falk to be fired from his UN position. To learn what so irritated our Canadian government, we've reached Richard Falk, who, in addition to his United Nations position, holds the post of Emeritus Professor of International Law at Princeton University. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us today.
Well, I'm happy to do it.
Now, you're a United Nations Special Rapporteur. How does one become a special rapporteur, and who do you report to?
Special rapporteurs are appointed by the Human Rights Council in Geneva, which has 49 members, and their original appointment has to be by consensus, which means no negative votes. There are usually quite a number of people nominated for each of these 29, I think, special rapporteurs on different issues. And most often the recommendation of the president of the council is accepted by the body. In my case, the only country, interestingly, that spoke against my appointment was Canada, but they didn't vote against me, and so I was selected by consensus and then reappointed in 2011, at which time you don't need a consensus but merely a majority, and it's usually pro forma. And my reappointment wasn't challenged even by Canada. And by then, the U.S. was also a member. It hadn't been a member when I was originally appointed. And Israel is not a member. So that's really the kind of background.
So the report that you made to the United Nations General Assembly, can you summarize the main points for us?
Well, they do cover the entire range of practices Israel is responsible for in the occupied territories. In this recent report, it concentrated on the continued expansion of Israeli settlements on the West Bank and in East Jerusalem, which are unlawful by international opinion, which is fairly unanimous and has in the past included both the view of the Canadian government and the U.S. government. And because this has been declared over and over again through the years that these are unlawful encroachments on the eventual exercise of Palestinian rights of self-determination, it was felt that something more needed to be done by as a practical matter. And what that involved in my case was to recommend to the General Assembly that corporations that were profiting from their relationship with these unlawful settlements should be boycotted, and recommended that civil society organizations follow this practice. And for many of these corporations, they had agreed to the voluntary position of respecting human rights through their signature of what's called the Global Compact, which is a UN initiative that encourages corporations around the world to agree voluntarily to uphold environmental standards, labor standards, and to respect human rights. And that seems to have caused this furor of response, even though all it does is really say that something unlawful should have some adverse consequences for this government that continues to defy international law.
Why did you move beyond identifying violations of international law by businesses involved in illegal settlements to actually proposing a campaign of boycott?
Well, because of the frustration that nothing was being done about the illegality. And it has been customary practice for rapporteurs to make recommendations as to how to implement human rights standards that are not being respected. So in that sense, there was nothing out of the ordinary in making these recommendations. I have no power to put them into effect, no authority to do that. But what I can do, and others have been doing in their respective mandates, is to make recommendations that might improve the compliance with human rights standards. And after all, if we are to take this obligation of reporting seriously, we have to also hope that our role has some impact on behavior. And it was that attempt, and I think well within my responsibilities as a rapporteur, to give some attention to what might be done to improve compliance with clearly applicable human rights standards.
Have you had any response from the corporations you identified as being in violation of international law?
Yes, we've tried to proceed in as accommodationist manner as possible, acting responsibly in relation to these corporations. We asked them in advance for their views on how they were relating to the settlements, and we sent them the report before it was issued, and some did respond. Several did respond, and some indicated that they were taking measures to act in compliance with the applicable human rights standards, which means not profiting from such unlawful activities as are associated with the settlements. And the fury of Canada and the U.S. is puzzling in one respect, because they too have over the years questioned both the legality of the settlements and the fact that Israel's continued expansion of them is, as they put it, unhelpful in the search for peace and resolution of the conflict.
Now, your predecessor as special rapporteur on Palestinian human rights was a South African professor of international law, John Duggard, and he too was a target of attacks by supporters of Israeli government practices. Now you're the target. What's your response to critics like John Baird and Jason Kenney?
Well, I think it's an irresponsible way of exhibiting a kind of unconditional support of Israel without examining the merits of the particular situation, and trying to damage the messenger rather than confront the message. I think Israel itself has pursued this tactic consistently, what I call the politics of diversion. You don't talk about the real substantive issue. Rather, you talk either about the auspices, the UN being biased, or the particular investigator, such as myself or previously Richard Goldstone, in connection with the Goldstone report that was submitted after the Gaza war in 2008-2009.
Now, while Canada and the U.S. and Israel have been basically demanding your head on a platter, there has been responses from other members of the United Nations. What have you heard from other sources?
Well, I think both when I delivered the report and since then, other governments, including the EU, have been supportive and have generally felt that I was doing the best I could in terms of honestly reporting on the facts and interpreting them as well as I could in relation to applicable international law. Civil society groups have also been very supportive and have generally taken my reports probably more seriously than the governments that are members of the UN, which are guided by a variety of political considerations that may make it difficult for them to act in accordance with the recommendations of these reports.
Now, in defiance of the United Nations, Israel has tried to disrupt your work as a special rapporteur. They've actually gone so far as to ban your entrance to the territories they control, which is, in effect, all of historic Palestine. Is there a pattern in Israel's responses to United Nations decisions?
Yes. Increasingly, Israel has been non-cooperative with the UN in relation to the occupied Palestinian territories. They have, in fact, within the last year, indicated that they would no longer cooperate at all with the Human Rights Council, and they have banned the entry of a fact-finding group to examine the continued settlement expansion that was appointed some months ago. So there is a consistent pattern here, and it violates Israel's obligation as a member of the UN to cooperate with the organization. And I've had these difficulties since my appointment, and when I tried to go to the Palestinian territories, I not only was expelled, I was imprisoned for 20 or so hours, and it has been indicated ever since that the same thing would happen if I tried to return. So I've had to proceed by meeting people in neighboring countries, in Egypt and Jordan, and that hasn't been entirely satisfactory.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us this morning, Richard. It's been really interesting.
Good. Well, I'm glad you gave me this opportunity.
And best wishes for your continuing work at the United Nations.
Thanks so much.
I've been speaking with Richard Falk. He is Emeritus Professor of International Law at Princeton University. He is presently United Nations Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territories occupied since 1967.